The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Elbin, and today I have a Houstonian husband and wife duo on the show. He's a gearhead, musician, and self-proclaimed comic geek, while she's both an artist and a writer. What they have in common, though, is a passion for people and real estate. Here to tell us just how you can still have a big heart and take massive action in this industry, all the way from Houston, Texas, Gina and Sean McCarthy. Gina and Sean, it's great to have you both here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Awesome. So I know this is actually a bit of a double barrel because you two both have your own individual stories, so you'll need to bounce off each other. I like to start it off by my guest taking us on a journey, their journey from now through up until where they are in real estate. So floor's over to you.
Well, ladies first, by all means.
Are you sure you started in real estate first?
Your story is much more interesting.
Behind the scenes on the decision-making process.
There you go. Yeah. Actually, he was in real estate first. So that was kind of where my story began. He started out working in home building and then jumped over to getting his license. He was trying to get me to become a realtor for a really long time. And I was just like, I'm good. You know, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm okay. You know, I was in oil and gas at the time. I ended up having some complications, like some medical complications, and had to have, for lack of a better term, a life-saving surgery because I had adhesions and my intestines were fused together from previous surgery I had a long time ago. So not such a happy story, but it all worked out fine. I'm healthy now. Yeah. But when I came back from leave, I was on leave for about 5 months. And when I came back from leave, it was not so great. The company had been bought out. They pulled us all into a room and they were like, Your severance package is in front of you. You know, have a nice day. Here, we'll clean out your desk and walk you out to your car. And I was like,
okay, welcome back.
Yeah. I had just gone through all of this trauma and like this, you know, like, oh, what a relief. I'm healthy. I get to go back to work. And then 2 weeks later, it was like, bye. I had a choice. I went home. I was devastated. I was talking to him. You know, he was doing the happy dance in the background.
And a little bit.
So he was excited. I was, you know, I was like, no, I just lost my job. And I had a choice to make. I could either go back to a cubicle, go back to working for someone, or I could partner with him and I could get my license. So I started studying. And then 14 years later, here I am. So
awesome. Awesome. So seeing as it's a man who seeded the journey, what was yours then?
I think mine unofficially started many moons ago. I actually immigrated to the United States. My family did from the UK, and way back when, you know, our goals were simple. We just wanted to experience the American dream. And part of that was starting a business and home ownership and all the trappings that are associated with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward, when my wife and I got married and, you know, and achieving that dream and going through, you know, the real estate process as consumers and the mortgage process, there was a lot to be desired in terms of service to us at the time, being first time homebuyers, much younger, and just kind of naive to the whole process. So, you know, we both come from a financial services background, emphasis on the service. And so my wife actually gave me the idea and say, hey, look, you know, you're good with people. You've had this interest in getting into real estate investing, so on and so forth. So, you know, from there, I started off, with real estate investing, did that for a little bit. Fast forward, I had an opportunity to work for some home builders in the area. So I learned the process on that end. working for a couple of the major builders here. And then an opportunity presented itself for me to get my real estate license, got my real estate license. And then fast forward, because, you know, we move fast. 3 years later, started a brokerage with some partners in a down economy. And the mission there, again, focus on service, was to provide resources in terms of down payment assistance, credit assistance, so on and so forth, for first-time home buyers who are looking to purchase their first home. And so in that economy back then, 2008, in a down economy, we were able to build something virtually out of nothing, and grew that company, and then was a part of that, the growth of that, for 7 years. And then my wife and I had an epiphany, and we decided, you know what, we're gluttons for punishment. Let's do this all over again. And just
love it. Yeah, so, just as well from the look of it.
Exactly. So in 2014, Sonnet Realty International was birthed and born. We started it with the two of us. We grew it into five divisions: residential, commercial, leasing, credit repair, and home building. And then we were approached by a major real estate company, Compass Real Estate. They saw what we were doing. We had similar values. And in 2022.
It was January of 2022. We joined Compass.
January 2022, we made the decision to merge with Compass. And since then, hadn't looked back, and really, you know, took advantage of the technology piece that Compass has to offer. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, not losing sight of service and really, you know, getting to the heart of what our clients really need, and taking that real estate service to the next level in an advisory capacity. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah. And he touched on a lot about he touched on a lot about like the service base and what was so important about credit and first time home buyers. That was actually what got me. It wasn't the, hey, you can make a whole lot of money or anything like that. It was like, you can help so many people. And that was really what based my decision from going from where I was at to where I am now. So he had a huge role in that. So
it looks like you guys definitely have a good rapport with each other. It's almost as if you guys are married.
We put up with each other for 24 years. So
I mean, there is no better pressure cooker for a relationship, but like a pressure test, than working with each other in real estate. Like that's another thing altogether. So that's pretty cool. And I also love it. There's always such a common thread when I'm getting these origin stories, for lack of a better word, with my guests, that it's normally some of the earlier interactions, maybe with realtors, or even just people in service related industries, that sort of become the first role model for the sort of agent that they want to be, whether it's in the reverse. I don't want to be like that, or I want to be like that.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should bring that up, because a lot of the people that are on our team, a lot of other of our colleagues in the industry, funny enough, real estate, you find more people than not that got into real estate out of a response to either an experience, or being inspired by something, or having a negative experience by something. And so I find that a lot of the agents that have been able to build out of something, and not coming from, I guess, a legacy of where you have other family members, or you're surrounded by real estate, if you will, you know, that's kind of the catalyst, if you will, to kind of drive them, because that gives them a particular insight into, you know, what it must be like for being on the client side, whether you're dealing with a first time home buyer, move up buyer, more affluent buyer, or you're dealing with military personnel that are returning home from deployment. You know, it gives you that built in rapport. And we always share with our agents, look, people, first and foremost, this is a service industry, and people are going to do business with you because they like you and they trust you. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is to build a platform in which our team have the resources to, and the tools, if you will, and the acumen to best service their clients. And a lot of times when we're meeting with our clients and we're doing that initial meeting, we're setting that groundwork for, you know, hey, look, tell us what your expectations are. Tell us what you're looking to achieve. Show us what your goals are. Mm-hmm. And what does life look like for you in the next year or two, 5 years from now, so on and so forth.
It has to be a partnership with your clients as well. So
yeah,
I 100% agree. You have to have that vested interest. Otherwise, you don't feel like you have as much to lose. And the global real estate economy, I mean, it's had its fair share of ebbs and flows. And sometimes these can be localized. You know, it's a different sort of market trends in your area. Like Houston will have very different market trends to other parts of the state simply because of its size. What are you guys doing as estate agents so that you're able to navigate that process?
As far as the ebbs and flows of real estate?
Yeah, as far as the ebbs and flows are concerned. Yeah, how are you staying relevant?
Yeah, basically, I mean, honestly, I came in right after 2008. So it was like the worst economy ever.
Wow.
So yeah. I learned in the worst economy ever. So there was a lot of like the foundation that was built in that. That was, you know, honestly, you have to keep everything client-based. And when you keep everything client-based and you keep everything focused and you keep everything consistent, like as far as your marketing and your prospecting, ever stop doing those things, even if it's hot. Like a lot of mistakes that agents made were in the market that we had. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome market. Everybody was throwing money everywhere, you know, and they got kind of, oh, well, we have multiple offers and we're out there with buyers and we're doing this and we're getting listings and all of that. But you never stop branding and marketing and touching bases with those past clients and everything else. You have to keep up those relationships with the people you already have, you know, built. And then you have to continue, you know, with your referral-based business or your marketing and branding so that you don't become irrelevant. You know, there's some crazy statistic that says that people forget what you do like every 14 to 16 days. So it's like, you have to, without being annoying and with being sincere, you have to remember, you know, to tell people, this is what I do. Remember, you know, if you loved your experience with me, think of me when you, you know, when you hear about real estate, when you hear about somebody wanting to buy or sell their house, think of me.
Yeah.
You know, loved me, pass me on.
And just to kind of piggyback off of what Gina was saying too, I think a big part of it is having your finger on the pulse of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And in essence, you know, good real estates understand the market in terms of what's happening within the next 3 months. Mm-hmm. Great real estate agents understand what's going to happen within the next 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Anything above and beyond that is almost prophetic, so to speak. And so what we try to do is we analyze trends, we analyze statistics, we analyze what's going on, not only at a micro level, but also at a macro level.
Okay.
Being in the Republic of Texas, if you will, because for the last 10 years or so, there has been an inward flux of people coming internationally as well as nationally.
Oh.
And we've seen trends from the UK, from South and Central America, that have continuously fed our local market. In addition to that, being abreast of technology, being abreast of what's happening on the business aspect. For the last 10 years, we have seen a tremendous growth in our economy, and we went from primarily an oil-based economy, or oil-based or service-based economy, to where our economy is a lot more diverse. So you're going to see technology here in the local market. Of course, we have oil and gas. We also have healthcare, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And the list goes on. So again, you know, and understanding these things, and we always kind of like to go back to Maslow's hierarchy of need and understanding fundamentally what are the hot buttons, you know, and creating a narrative in which we're able to reach out to, you know, prospects, clients, so on and so forth, and provide them something that's relevant in order for them to navigate. Because fundamentally, regardless of what's going on with the economy, people fundamentally want a home. People want some place to live. People want security. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to have the opportunity to raise their family with a degree of with dignity. And so when we truly focus on those things and make it palatable for them, we try to do it in a way that offers them, you know, a system and a process. Mm-hmm. And we are simply the guides through that.
And you have to remember that it's an investment for them too. Like it's a huge investment. It is, you know, it's a very emotional investment for most people, but it has to be something that, you know, they're going to be able to maintain and that they're going to be able to, you know, keep up with, so that, you know, as far as maintenance and things like that. So those are also things that we have to take into consideration. Like, what is your situation going to look like down the road? You know, if you're, you know, if you're, you know, kind of concerned about, you know, your payment, you're very concerned about your payment, you're concerned about inflation, stuff like that. Well, we may need to look at newer, so there's not so much maintenance on the home. You know, you may need to look at new construction so that you have warranties and stuff in place. And, you know, you won't have to do that maintenance for the first few years until you can get on your feet, you know, and you can have, you know, a little nest egg for yourself so that when things do arise that, okay, yes, I can handle this. So there's a lot that goes into buying a home that I think people just don't consider. You know, not because they don't want to, it's because it's such a complex process and there's so much out there. They just can't consider every facet of that. And sometimes they can't look 10 years down the road, you know? So we kind of have to help them, you know, be in that mindset. Okay. We need to consider a lot of different things besides just, hey, I really like this house. It's cute.
Absolutely. You know? So. And more than just, I mean, it sounds like what you guys are doing as well is you're not just going face value, the banks will give you the money. That's fine. You should make a decision. Don't just take for granted that because someone that everyone's going to be a responsible lender, become the responsible loaner. I love that. I see far too often clients fall into the trap of going, well, the bank says I can afford it, so it must be the case.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because as kind of where we come in is, and you know, we try to as best as we can, because we have a limited role based off our licenses, right?
Yes.
But what we try to do is provide some degree of relevant literacy. Mm-hmm. I don't think the issue is information, because you have information coming at you every which way.
Processing all of that information.
It's filtering through what's relevant to what exactly it is that you're trying to achieve. Right. And formulating some sort of a plan, action plan, actionable items in which you can do that. So I say to, you know, someone who's starting off in real estate or as a real estate agent, their wants and needs are going to be different than someone that is, you know, looking for assistance in purchasing real estate.
Mm-hmm. But
the process is more or less are still the same in saying, okay, let's identify these actionable items, right? Let's put together your goals. Let's put together what you're looking to achieve. Now, realistically, what can we do within the next 3 months, okay, that will help you to achieve those goals? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And then we try to enact certain vehicles, if you will, or engines, if you will, that will enable them to execute those goals. And then by taking these measurable, actionable items and building upon that, that's how, you know, you're able to establish some sort of momentum in moving forward, whether you're trying to buy a house, whether you're trying to sell a house, or you as a real estate professional, you're having to adjust to the ever dynamic real estate environment. You know, it's just a matter of having those plans and those actionable items and executing those plans.
Yes.
Ever changing. I mean I think a moving target is another good term for it, because it is just that. It's a moving target.
Absolutely. And sometimes you hit it. Sometimes you don't.
Well, I mean, you're going to hit something. You just hope you don't hit what you weren't meant to hit.
Right.
This feels like a nice segue to chat about what's happening on your YouTube channel. Fill us up.
All right. Well, it's basically in process right now. We are growing our YouTube channel. So that is something that has been, that we have wanted to do for a while, but you know, when we were a brokerage, we weren't involved as much in the marketing and different things and stuff like that as we could be, because we were in the day to day. So that was another perk of like joining Compass, because now like we have freed up some of our time to like be more interactive with our agents, be more interactive with our clients, and put more time into projects like this. So we've started with property tours and things like that, like going out to different builders, different homes, and like just showing everyone kind of what is available out there, like in our areas as far as new homes. Cause I think sometimes people think that new construction is kind of unattainable, like they're not going to be able to afford it or whatever, or it's not going to be in their area, or they're not going to like it. So we try to go out and show them like the diverse communities that are out there. Hey, there's communities that have, you know, lagoons and all of that, and you know, they have tons of amenities. And then there's quieter communities that if you don't want to be kind of in that master plan and you want to be in a quieter community, they have some that, you know, they still have amenities, but it's not going to be as poppin' as some of the larger communities. So we try to tell them, like, you know, we try to show them that in video. We also go out to different local spotlights, like cart shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's, Houston has 100 car shows like a month. So, so we try to
lots
go
out cars. To some
shows. Yes. Well, and he loves them. So,
I have to assume you have a completely different relationship with how many car shows there are every month than I'm sure.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Don't let her fool you. She's a gearhead as well. So
yeah, I'm more of the aesthetics as far as the gearhead. Like, you know, I don't need to know the inner workings and all of that. I mean, if it's loud and fast and it, you know, it's awesome. If it makes me feel good when I'm driving it, then great, you know, but I don't need to know all of the stuff and how to fix it. So, and I don't need to know the technicalities and the details, but I enjoy the car shows too. I mean, it's an opportunity for us as a dual purpose. We get out, you know, we get into the community, we have fun, but at the same time, you know, we can share with our online community, hey, like this, if you're looking to move to Texas and you like things like this, like you're looking to move to Houston, like, these are some of the events and things that are out there. Like, this is what you can expect. You know, these are some of the parks, like stuff like that. So that's really where we're going with that. And then eventually we'll be doing some podcasting and different stuff like that. So, you know, those are in the work for later on in the year. So
in addition to that, we also like to reach out to our local business partners and restaurants and things of that nature, highlight some of the festivals that are coming. In the Houston area, because, you know, where you choose to live is also the same place in which you choose to play, socialize, start a family, of things course. Of that nature. And so Houston's a bit of a hidden gem in which the goal is to kind of showcase all these different aspects of Houston life and all the trappings that are associated with it.
And all the surrounding areas, because we're so big. Like, our city is so big. Like, you have inside the city, and then you have everything surrounding it. So there's tons of stuff to do here, so.
Awesome. So you kind of already answered what's next for the Sonnet Realty Group in 2023. I think you guys have got quite a few projects on the go. But what would you say, you don't even have to make it about the whole team. You can make it just about you guys as a duo there. What would you say your niche is? What's that thing that you guys do best in real estate? I mean, I've got a simplified idea, but I'd love to hear it from the horse's mouth first.
I would probably say to get down to the lowest common denominator in terms of what we do and how we've been able to grow is just focusing on our clients' needs. I mentioned earlier that we were able to grow our company into different divisions, 5 different divisions of the company.
Yes.
And fundamentally, that was all based off of a need. Say, for example, we have a client that we've worked with on purchasing their first or second home. They come to us and they're saying, hey, look, we're starting a business. Mm-hmm. And so that, in essence, gave birth to our commercial division of our company.
Yes.
And keeping it simple in that aspects and focusing on the specific relevant needs of our clients, that is what's going to enable us to grow. And that's what's going to enable us to kind of tool ourselves, if you will, for what's to come in the real estate market.
I love that.
Good answer.
Good answer indeed. I think so. So if I were to sum it up, if someone's looking for the responsible realtors, really, the realtors are going to put themselves in your shoes so that they're making sure it's somewhere they walk themselves. They should give you guys a call. And I suppose the best question to answer then is, how do they get in touch with you? How do viewers get in touch with you?
There's several ways. They can, any of our social media channels, they can be at Sonnet Realty, S-O-N-N-E-T, and then Realty. They can give us a call, 281-871-1669. I almost forgot our whole phone number. Or they can email us, sonnetrealtygroup@compass.com. So
I love that. And I've loved having you guys on the show as well. Especially considering you're going to be opening up your channel, and there's going to be an opportunity maybe for me to come and hop on your podcast. I'm definitely looking forward to keeping in touch with you guys as things go on.
Most definitely. Likewise, this has definitely awesome. Been a privilege and a pleasure for us.
Yeah, this has been a great awesome. Experience. So.
Great. I'm glad. That goes on my official performance review. But from me, Ken Elvin at Icons of Real Estate Podcast, and Gina and Sean McCarthy of Sonnet Realty Group, thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for more.
Most definitely.